Brown is an assistant professor of public health at Washington University in St. Louis's Brown School and a faculty scholar at the Institute for Public Health. Dr. Brown is a health economist specializing in child maltreatment, health-related quality of life, and preferences for public health services such as vaccination. He is a member of a Healthy People 2020 Advisory Committee and has received research funding from several federal agencies and nonprofit organizations. Welcome, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. Good morning. So I'm going to be speaking about total healthcare costs around child abuse and neglect, and I'll be essentially limiting what we're reporting to kind of average estimates for the child population, so ages 0 to 17, and I'll talk a little further about some of the implications for that in the discussion. This is joint work as part of a research team we've had going for several years with Ramesh Raghavan from WashU, Ben Allaire from RTI, Lauren Garfield, and Raven Ross, also from Washington University. I have no disclosures related to this work. And I want to kind of begin by just taking a moment to sort of think about kind of shaping the public health topic for the next 15, 20 minutes in terms of a social perspective. So child abuse and neglect, there's a rich literature in psychology and in social work about, as well as medicine, about all of the many sort of physical, mental health consequences. And these persist among not just children, but through adolescence and through adulthood. It also significantly affects their quality of life. So we know a lot about the health impacts, and we know a lot less about the health services that are associated with that, and very little about the costs. As a health economist, I've worked on sort of various aspects of costing around this, and one of the areas we continue to fall short then is really sort of this a good handle on the medical costs, and so that was the genesis for this work. Most of these children, by virtue of having contact with social services and foster care placement, end up in the Medicaid system, and so that's the data that we'll use for this study, and trying to measure this association. So why do we want to do this? I think the problem of child abuse and neglect is certainly significant. I'll show you a little bit of kind of prevalence data or incidence data near the end of the talk as I put the results in context. But economic costs themselves are really important to help us communicate this to decision makers. And so we can do, for instance, economic evaluation around specific programs, say the Triple P parenting program to try to prevent child abuse, or interventions to help children and to help families that are already in contact with child welfare. But we need to know what that burden of illness is if we're going to do these cost effectiveness or other kinds of evaluations. Certainly also awareness and advocacy. I get a lot of inquiries and speak to different groups about child maltreatment as a larger public health and social problem. And so there's quite a bit of interest in this information, and the costs are fairly striking. So one of the reasons, though, that the research has been limited so far, in fact, I would argue a primary reason, is we just don't really have good data sources that capture kind of the necessary pieces. So if I want to do analysis of medical costs of diabetes, or I want to look at heart disease, I can go to the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. I can get Medicare claims. We don't have that. We don't have a similar thing that captures both child maltreatment and captures healthcare use. I had a review article a few years ago that looked specifically at what was in the literature, and it's amazing how thin it is. So usual sources aren't available, and if you do get claims information, most of the time there is not a specific claim associated with any ongoing health care services for children. So we need a different approach. I'll describe that over just the next couple of slides, but the overall goal then, again, is just to estimate this association and to try to capture this attributable or associated medical cost difference. In today's presentation, I'm also going to break this down a little bit by some of the different kinds of diagnoses that these children are receiving. So the sampling frame then for our study, and really the innovation, the way that we tackled this data problem, was a multi-year process. But we identified this survey that was funded by the Administration for Children and Families to really look at kind of placement outcomes of children. And this was from the early 2000s, called the NSCAW, or National Survey of Child and Adolescent Well-Being. But it wasn't intended for health services or healthcare costs. There's only a handful of measures on that. However, due to the fact that most of those kids are on Medicaid, there was the possibility to link this after a great deal of sort of conversations and permissions. So we obtained the MACs or Medicaid claims data from all the states in which NSCAW was fielded to fill this gap. After that, we do relatively straightforward econometric analysis, but some of the details of the linkage are really important. So a little bit more about this NSCAW sample. There's approximately 6,200 children in there, and the sampling frame was either having a child protective service or child welfare case investigation, so risk or suspicion of child abuse and neglect, and there's also an associated foster care sample. Now, families were asked, or caregivers were asked, if you could link data, and about 80% said, yes, you can link data when the survey was fielded, but less than half actually gave Social Security numbers. So that got us partway there, and then we discovered kind of by analyzing both the NSCAW and the Medicaid data that we could uniquely identify virtually all of the NSCAW children just by using the identifiers that I have here in terms of date of birth, sex, zip, and race, ethnicity. So we put those two pieces together, and we were able to link about 70% of the full NSCAW sample and about 80% of the feasible if you don't look at the, if you exclude those that did not give permission. Those that have done health services research with Medicaid data know some of the limitations, and one of those is we don't have very good information if you're in Medicaid managed care. So we don't, we've excluded those from this analysis here since the focus is on healthcare costs. So we analyzed Medicaid payments, and then we do sort of a panel-like analysis on the following child years. Okay, so building to the results, then the primary outcome that I want to report on is the child's total annual Medicaid expenditure. We're trying to look at this broad picture then, say, for prevention and economic evaluation. And then we wanted to look at the areas of service in which kids were receiving care. So we used the clinical classification software or system from HCCP or AHRQ, and there are 18 categories there that we can break down claims based on the diagnosis codes. Then a kind of a final, what we'd call identifying assumption in economics. We're going to treat placement in the NSCAW survey, so having this investigation or foster care placement, as our definition of abuse or neglect. There's good evidence in the social work literature that essentially all cases, whether investigated or substantiated or not, really correlate pretty much the same with abuse. So we feel good about that. But then we need a comparison group, and we used a propensity score match sample for that. And so we drew other children from the Medicaid-only sample, we removed the foster care eligibles, and then we matched on essentially all of the information that we had from Medicaid. But that is admittedly limited. So it's your major demographic variables and geographic variables. Okay, so we have these two groups together, and then basically we'll compare them. You can look at a simple means, and then you can also run multivariate models. Again, if you've worked with healthcare data or expenditure information, you know that it tends to be fairly skewed, and that causes some other statistical issues. So the usual way to deal with that in my field is a two-part model, where we have one measuring the likelihood of use through a logistic regression, and then a generalized linear model for users. So even though about 90% of children in any given year in this sample use healthcare, we still need that model to really try to measure this association. So at the descriptive level, then, here are the two sample, or here's our ANSCoA sample and then the matched sample. And you can see large differences across just a couple of the categories of total expenditures and healthcare costs, more than $7,000 per year among the abused and neglected. And that's in 2012 Medicaid dollars. Nearly half of that comes from mental health services, and the prescription drugs are a significant component as well. We have lots of other breakdowns that I've reported in some other work, and we see similar patterns, but these are major drivers. So those are services based on the ICD-9 code. So we have the prescription drug costs come from a separate drug file. But that's an average level. That's so one of the reasons that looks at that level and not larger is that includes all of the children that have zero, so who aren't receiving that. And in some separate work with Dr. Raghavan, our psychiatrist, we've really drilled down into that specifically. And so when you limit it to the mental health users, we see some really high cost and some interesting kind of disparities. So that's just essentially a separate analysis I can talk about later. So then that two-part model of expenditures, this is what we use then to generate these attributable costs. And I circled the top because that's what we need to get this combined marginal effect. And so it's both an increased odds of use, about nearly 50% greater in the abused sample, and then also that positive coefficient means among users, in addition to just likelihood of using more medical care, higher levels. So if you put those two together, then through the appropriate analytics, we get the combined marginal effect, which is a difference of approximately $2,900 per year, so nearly $3,000 more on average in Medicaid payments for a child that has a history of abuse or neglect relative to the average Medicaid child. And I will, and again, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but this reflects this average relationship. And that's useful for us if we want to think about this kind of as a big public health problem, and what's the total burden of illness. It's not necessarily appropriate for looking at narrower questions. If you break that down then in terms of what are the drivers of that that gap or that difference, mental health diagnosis codes were associated with about 60% of that difference, and then these are the other major categories that came out of the CCS. Interestingly, our invalid or missing shows up as the next highest, and that's sort of a limitation of working with Medicaid data at the national level. It may be in many cases that states have specific sort of procedures or services that just don't fall in the categorization of the CCS. So if we kind of take this then and think about placing this in context, so in any given year, our most recent data suggests there were about 700,000 what we call substantiated or legal cases for child abuse and neglect in 2012, or more than 3 million investigations. If you simply combine what's that new incidence in a given year, we've got a range of several billion dollars just of additional Medicaid costs. That's pretty significant and places us in the range of many other threats to child health. It suggests this is something we should take pretty seriously, I think, in public health. I do want to mention, though, that I've got other work in terms of What's the total burden? And it's quite a bit greater than this. In fact, this doesn't even reflect the ongoing services. This is just for the new cases in 1 year. So I'd be happy to share that with you later. Some areas that we're taking this moving forward, we want to look at what are the child health trajectories. So if kids are abused at a young age or they have neglect, they look very different than, say, sexual abuse that hits sort of pre-adolescence or early adolescence. We really need more data, essentially, to enable to do that, and so we have some proposals in the works to do that. And also, we've tried to look at kind of the differences between some of these types. So those are things that I hope to be reporting on kind of in future years. Just a final sort of plug for where some of this work is going and the mental health care. Lauren Garfield will be presenting further work, essentially with the same sample in which we've looked at polypharmacy and multiple prescriptions for children receiving psychotropics. I think I'm out of time, but here are some limitations to, just to keep in mind, sort of. I think the main one, essentially, is I can't really say that this is truly causal. It's not. I mean, we have an association here. We match on observable information. But the truth is, we really need some basic measures of this information at this point, and so we're working with data limitations and trying to fill these gaps. Thank you.